This is Rezamir.
This is Tuan Ofan, and this is the Teacher Avenue Pod.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we have a very special guest in store for you for episode 49. In the future, we hope to actually have a bunch of different guest speakers, people from different perspectives, women, non-teachers, just all over the spectrum. But today, we're really, really excited to bring you our first guest on the podcast.
Yeah, so today we have my good friend, Ronald Bravo. Ron, welcome to the show.
What up, everyone? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad you could make it. Yeah, so Ron, I'll introduce him really quick. He's a social studies teacher at, one of our sister schools within the district. And so he also went to the same school as famous NBA's star, his alma mater as well. So I'll just say that. But we actually met, I was just thinking about that, at a district conference event or something. Correct me if I'm wrong, like a while back. And then I was like, hey, like, you know, we kind of just started talking, and then we, like, I think we went to the same gym as well, and we started working out, and that's kind of how we met each other, right?
Yeah, same gym.
Wow.
24-hour fitness.
Yeah, it seems like it's been a while now, but that's kind of how we met. But yeah, I guess we can just jump into it since we have you here today. So it's going to be like a conversation for everybody listening. And yeah, let's jump into it.
All right. So Ron, let's go ahead and start from the beginning. How did you get to where you are today? Did you always know when you wanted to be a teacher from when you were 5 years old? Did you have that plan? What's your journey?
Man, you know what? This is a story I really don't speak much about, you know, and to this day, I kind of still don't know how I got here. You know, I'm going to say luck. I'm going to say making the right decisions at the right times. When I was five, I thought being a Power Ranger or, a professional Pokemon trainer, you know, like I thought I was going to make it.
Yeah, fun. Yeah.
But
realistic life career goals. Yes.
Yeah. Realistically, I guess I never thought about it. It wasn't really discussed, you know, in my household. And I grew up going to school with the Englewood School District. I mean, I did have some private school education early on, but most of my K through six was at Englewood Unified.
I see.
Yeah, I never thought about it, you know.
Well, so your path isn't basically like, you know, planned out or linear like most people. I think a lot of people, like, it's like up and down all over the place, and you kind of got here as a teacher. Like, when did you know you wanted to become a teacher? Like, was it college or after college?
Middle school, man. Middle school.
Wow.
Rogers Middle School, you know, class of, what was it, 2000, 2003?
Wow.
Yeah.
I went to Rogers, yeah.
Yeah. Well, back then, you know, Tuan, like, gangster life was like, gangster lifestyle. That was like a big thing, you know, the big t-shirts and
the baggy
music
jeans.
And just the baggy jeans, everything, man. It was the culture, you know. So I was surrounded myself in that area and with those group of friends, you know.
Okay.
And I did you know, I guess I made some decisions that kind of at an early age made me reflect, like, you know what, is this something I want to be a part of? You know, and I had a math teacher, and he would just say, like, hey, after school, if you want to come and hang out, do some math homework, tutor you, things like that. And what eventually he was doing was, I guess he was just trying to keep me off the streets, you know. Couldn't, my mom worked with the 9 to 4, 8 to 3, whatever it was. So really no adult supervision once I went home. So I guess I would stay after school, work on some stuff. That's where I developed a passion for mathematics.
Wow.
And then, So I think by age 13, I realized I want to go into education. And I've told this teacher, like, hey, you saved my life. You know, you put me on a different path, and you gave me something to dream about, a goal, aspirations. And I just figured everything else out on the way there. Yeah.
That's so inspiring. So did you want to become a math teacher initially? Was that your plan?
I did. I was a little math whiz, and then I guess senior year, I got in trouble or something. I forgot, and I didn't get along with my math teacher, and then I just fell out. So I just stopped caring about math. But
education was still there for you.
But education was still there. So I guess at the end of the day, the subject didn't matter. I guess I was pursuing math because my math teacher was the one helping me out, but I knew I still wanted to make a difference in young adults' lives.
Wow. Cool. I mean, well, I was going to ask, you know, why did you become a teacher? But I guess you really explained it that there. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on this profession? Like, I guess here in the United States, the culture around teaching, like, what are your thoughts or impression about teaching in general and education culture?
Man, I guess we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for teachers, right? Mm-hmm. At some point, someone had to come along and educate future pilots, doctors, lawyers, other educators. You know, like, if you think about it, I already know education's, not as appreciated.
Right.
We don't get the praise, and that's fine. But, you know, how will society develop and, you know, improve without education, without someone, you know, once they climb the ladder, reaching their hand back and helping others climb with them.
That's definitely a good point. So what do you, I guess we forgot to ask, what do you teach, Ron, for the people out there?
So U.S. government, economics, and I'm trying out more through a financial literacy lens, and ethnic studies, which is something I'm still new to, but definitely passionate about.
Yeah.
And then hopefully next year I'll be teaching hip hop history and sociology as well.
That's awesome.
You said hip hop history. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What were the conversations the first conversations to get that ball rolling?
You know what? I haven't even planned it out. I feel like all my ideas are scattered, but
it's there. It's like
just that.
You gotta organize it, right?
So yeah.
But hip hop was something a big part of your life.
And
growing up. I mean, that's an amazing thing. I remember like classes like that only being given in college, but in high school, that would be such a cool opportunity for the kids.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of this thing, you know, when you're in high school, you think history is just read something, this textbook, answer these questions.
Right.
You know, and then you know, even the AP, I didn't take AP courses, but I have friends that did, you know, so it was like you're teaching to a test, you know, you're trying to get someone to this destination and you have to learn, absorb all this knowledge like a sponge and then just spit it right back out when it's the AP exam. So, but I think I had a powerful world history teacher. He was, now that I think about his philosophies, he was big on the Howard Zinn, you know, teaching a people's history. And
right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's something I was passionate about. And like you said, once you go to college, you're like, what? Like,
yeah, your world really
there's
expands.
There's history in music, you know, sports, food, you know, then you can, you know, get an emphasis in war history or just religion. Like you can go so many ways with it.
Yeah. So definitely.
So that just expanded my horizon. So hopefully doing this will get kids more interested in social studies, if not just like critically thinking, you know.
Yeah, it's the biggest thing for me is to help them like just be more critical thinkers. And you made a good point. I think I wanted to add to that, like people either like become teachers. I think there's a saying like the reason a lot of teachers become teachers is because of one of two ways. Like one is they are inspired by teachers in their lives, or two, they had you know, not so great teachers, and that's what inspires them to go back and change the system in a way to kind of be better than, you know, what they were taught. So that's just something that reminded me.
And what's option three? The ones that third career.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that too. Obviously, we don't do this for the money because, you know, we could be doing something else. Yeah. But I think we do it because a lot of teachers go in. I think they're passionate about it, right? But eventually, they unfortunately get jaded. It's something systemic, but yeah, hopefully we can change that.
I'm excited for you to get that hip-hop history class. We're going to have to invite you back, Ronald, to talk about that.
Yeah.
Sure, in the future.
My vision is to see it at all our schools. So
There's other
schools in California doing this, and there's colleges doing this, universities. So I said, why not? Like, why not give this to the kids? I see kids not just as our future, but also as our customers, you know. So I've worked in customer service, and there is no school without kids. Who do you need to teach? Let's give the kids something they can use, you know, something they're gonna enjoy, and you know, learning back the history of A through G, you know, it's like politicians making this stuff.
I feel that's a good point. Like that, the analogy, like we're teachers are some sort of like, we're not servants in a way, but like we're facilitators of, like, you know, the students are kind of our clients in a way, that we're serving them this flatter of education, or like this way of learning, I guess. That's an interesting perspective for sure.
Right. Yeah. It's also the biggest genre in music right now. It's what all our kids are listening to. And most of them, I would argue, don't know where it came from, don't know the evolution of it. The evolution of hip hop is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Like the origins of it, right? Going back to blues, gospel, like going even
DJ
way further back than that.
That reminds me of the episode we were talking about from the Colin Kaepernick. They talk about the sort of the history of hip hop and the four elements, right? We have the rap music, we have the graffiti, the break dancing, and the DJ.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think you're going to blow some minds. I think you're going to blow some minds, Bravo.
That's the goal. Just you know, have these kids come back and just be hungry for more knowledge, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Cool. On a more personal note, I wanted to ask, you know, congratulations, by the way, on recently being a parent. You have almost he's almost one now, or is it?
Yeah, almost one. We're
almost wow.
Congrats.
Yeah. Thank so you. How is it being a parent, especially having, you know, a kid during the pandemic, and how is that life leading like that, you know?
Yeah, it's new, and you know, with new things there's always a challenge, you know, but I say my life for sure has more purpose, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, because now I'm not just living for myself, but I'm living for others.
Okay.
And
for sure.
You know, making sure my son, or you know, when they get to my age or later, they have the resources I was never given, you know, or just even advice, you know, being informed of things. So it's good. It's a learning process every day, but it's a beautiful thing to see the growth of it.
Yeah, you're raising another human being. That's so wild to me that. I can't wrap my mind around it sometimes, but congrats.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, it comes with sacrifices, man.
It does.
Sleep one of those, bro.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
It is, you know, but what's the saying? I don't know. I think more of I feel like there's a freshman 15, but now I see why dad bod is actually a thing. Yeah.
It's like a dad 30 or something, or
might have that like another 10, bro. Yeah.
And dad 40
with the pandemic and you know, just you know, being safe for others, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. So we wish you the best of luck with all the parental adventures, and it's gonna be fruitful and incredibly rewarding.
Imagine we teach him in like a couple years, or like when he's of age and he goes to high school. That's
we don't
wild.
Have to go that far ahead.
That's but wild, yeah. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's a long way, but yeah, that's just
for sure. I mean, and I always think about that too. Where would I want my son to go to school? You know, and I believe in public education. You know, we have to. You know, as a public educator myself, so you know, and it's kind of difficult when you see some of your coworkers and their kids go to private school, and I'm like, you don't teach out of private school, you teach here. So like, do you not believe in the school, or do you not believe in public education? So that's where I'm kind of you know, not torn, but sometimes I'm just
disheartened,
perplexed. Yeah, just like I'm confused, you know. So I mean, I can't tell people how to raise their kids or where to put them to school. You have to do what's best for you and for them.
Mm-hmm.
But my son will be attending public education for more than one reason. One of them is because I believe in it, and two is because it's free.
Yeah.
At least compared to tuition. I mean, it's not free. We're paying for it, but.
Right. But I'm glad to hear that. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Awesome. You know, so. Cool.
Yeah. Great. So let's go back to the teaching. Let's go to your first year, Ron. Let's go to the first year. The first year is always the hardest, always the most challenging. It's the scariest. Can you bring us back to your first year? What was that like? How did you set up for it? And once you got going, what were some of the things that surprised you the most?
First year.
It's a while, right?
First year, kind of
reflecting back on it. Yeah.
You know what? At times I still feel like I'm a first year, but
yeah.
Especially you know, this year. Yeah.
First year, my goal was just survival, you know, make it to the end of the semester, make it through. At that point, I don't know when it's your first year, you know, you're trying to find your teaching identity and, you know, trying to see what works for you and what doesn't. And so you're trying things out, you know, and at the end of the day, the kids, like I've always tried to remember this, but we are, you know, our hardest, toughest critics, you know, so the kids don't know what's going on. They don't know the game plan. They just know the agenda and what you present, you know, so some of my most successful lessons were on the fly, you know, just like and I came up with stuff on at that moment.
Yeah.
And some of my worst lessons were like things I actually like prepared for, planned. And then, you know, it's like with education, you can't anticipate or just predict every outcome.
Yeah. What's that saying? It's like, I think they say like teaching is like 25% planning and then 75% improvisation or like 25% planning and 75% like theater or something like that. Like something like that, but that's what it kind of felt like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, that year it was good. I think I was doing, clearing BITSA.
The new teacher, what's it stand for again? To be honest, I don't even remember.
I don't know. It's a joke, man. But
it's like climbing Mount Everest. It's something like it needs a whole episode to even probably break down what BITSA is. But it's basically like the a bunch of hurdles that you need to get through
to clear your credential.
Clear your teaching
once credential. You become a teacher. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if it's to prove it because it's like, I don't know. Like to me, the TPAs, which they don't even have anymore, you know, but I had, when I was going through my credential program, it was 4 TPAs.
Mm.
Those things were stressful, you know,
and
you had to pass 4 of those to end student teaching to become a teacher, to clear your credential. And I feel like BITSA is like, are you sure you really earned this credential?
Well, good point.
Well, who's going to write this TPA for me, you know, or who's going to student teach for me? Like, it's something you can't fake. You have to go through the most. You have to do it, you know. So, to me, it's a system. It's a system. There's a lot of money involved, and we're the guinea pigs.
And one thing they don't mention is, like, you know, the student teaching, you're working for free.
It's not
true. You're paying tuition. You're volunteering.
Yeah,
and you're paying tuition. You're volunteering full-time, like, without,
it's not an easy path,
without
for
even
sure.
a stipend.
Yeah, it's not an easy path for sure. Nothing. I mean, do you want to talk about what was it like to get your credential in the first place, like going through the program, what your program was like, your student teaching experience, any of that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I did my program at Cal State Long Beach. I got my BA from there, and also completed my credential there. And I think Long Beach is one of the more respected institutions, the public school institutions for teaching credentials.
Right.
I mean, it took me, 2.5 years? Just because you have to plan for not having money for 6 months.
That's
you know,
true.
So it's like,
yeah.
So it's like, you have to work.
Take out loans.
So for me, it was like, I took an extra semester. I should have student taught way before. So it took me an extra semester just to do it because, you know, I was like, you know what? I have to make money, pick up another job, pay off my car. so I don't have to pay it off, and then, you know, so I don't have to pay this, pay off my credit cards, you know, and student teaching, I think would have been more difficult if I wasn't living at home with my mom, you know, so that was support, knowing I didn't have to pay rent, but, you know, like some, you know, for sure, like some people, especially when they do the career changes, it's like my last student teacher, he was an accountant for Adidas, you know, so he was, and he had a mortgage, so he was, and he had a kid, you know, so he was like, dude, I had to like work really hard, pay everything off, and build 6 months to 8 months. Actually, not even 6 to 8 months.
That's a lot of planning ahead. I had to
plan for a whole year, because what if he didn't get hired as a substitute teacher? He didn't get a sub gig during the pandemic, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So that was one of them. My other student teacher, he worked for real estate, you know, he was in the bank, and he was making incredible amount of money, but he wasn't satisfied. But he also, kids, a mortgage, you know, so it's like education sometimes, it's I love it, and I would do this for the rest of my life, even if I hit the lotto.
I think I would still be a teacher too. You don't do it obviously for the money, you do it for like the, you know, the, at the end of the day, like the reward is like the relationships you build, the people you inspire. It's a kind of a lofty goal, but I think it's also very noble. And you know, that's really cool to hear. I think for a lot of people, like growing up in our communities, like going to these schools, it's like really underserved and underprivileged. And like, we kind of don't really realize like what we get ourselves into when we get into this education. But I think we, you know, we end up where we are today because we do this stuff for like not beyond something beyond ourselves, like something greater than ourselves, basically. Right. Thanks for sharing that.
It's like gardening, man. You know, you want to see, if you're into gardening, or you know, you want to see your labor pay off, you know, you want to see the food that you feed these plants, you know, our students, like you want to see them grow, you want to see them blossom, and like I've wanted nothing but the best for every student that's entered my room, whether I've taught them or not, you know. That first year, difficult for sure. After student teaching, and I think, you know what, something I forgot to mention during my credential program, I always tell people credential programs are more theoretical and not practical, right. You know, you do your observation hours, but you can just say, hey, can I just sit in the back seat, and then I just sit there quietly, I don't say anything. And then can you sign these hours off for me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what are you supposed to learn from that? You know, like, education is a hands-on job.
Right, it's when the rubber meets the road. Like, when you start teaching, that's when you get that experience.
Yeah. So I've always said this, and I actually recommend every potential teacher candidate needs to substitute teach a class. You know, if you do that, because when you're a substitute teacher, there are no rules. and it's not. It's true.
Yeah.
No, maybe
you sub too, right? Like, yeah.
If you get through that, and you understand these unwritten rules, and you understand, you know, customer service, or just like working with students one on one, building good rapport, you know, picking your battles, you know.
Yeah.
You can't go in there and say, put your phones away, put your headphones away, I run this class, this and that. Like, kids don't respond well to that. You know, that's so
authority figure. Yeah. You have to build that relationship with them.
You have to build that. I mean, when you're a teacher, it's different, you know, like you come into my room, my name is on your schedule.
Yeah. They know.
Your ass is mine. Yeah. You got to get through me if you want to graduate. So
yeah,
it's different. But when you're a sub, you pick up all these skills.
I totally agree with that. While I was doing my, classes, getting my credential, I signed up for like an agency, kind of a staffing agency that for subs, and they would just randomly assign me to a random school in somewhere in LA, and like the day before, and you just have to show up, and you don't know if you got a middle school or a public school above high school or what it was, you know, it could be anywhere. And that was like one of the greatest things that I could, that thinking back now, I could have done. At the time, it was rough, you know, not knowing where I was going to work until the night before was rough. And then showing up like going to like Sylmar and going to some middle school in a place that's like middle of kind of nowhere and you're unfamiliar with it. It's scary, but
dang.
But it was good because you listen, like you said, you just kind of listen, you watch, you learn, you pick up on things you do, things you should not do. And that's probably one of the best experiences. But for you, Ronald, just like after you got your credential, what was the journey like from getting a credential to getting your first gig? Was it kind of smooth out the gate? Did you have to kind of hunt for a while? What was that like?
You know what? That's always a fear, getting a job, you know, and people can promise you things like, hey, you know, we'll have something lined up for you, but it's not official until you send
those documents. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like sometimes people don't have a word, you know, and you can't take, you know, everything for face value. So what I did was once I got my credential, like I said, I subbed where I work at. And then after I finished, I ended up getting a long-term position as a biology and anatomy teacher at the same school.
Wow.
Dude, so sometimes I consider myself a jack of all trades. Like if you tell me to teach music, I'll find a way how to play those instruments and teach it. So I was like, hey, is this how I got to do it to get my reputation and to get my, you know, to build my reputation, get my foot in the door?
Yeah,
so this is what I'm gonna do.
That's a hustle mentality right there.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was like, this is gonna give me a little advantage over whoever applies, you know. Yeah. And something I learned about our district too. Our district is loyal to student teachers that teach for our district.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. And then just, you know, networking, building good reputation, good relationships with individuals, secretaries.
Yeah,
Custodians, securities, making yourself available. Just always smiling, saying good morning. You know, or just greeting people. That goes. I always tell.
It goes a long way. Yeah,
that goes a long way. Like the little things matter. You know,
right?
The little things matter, and you know, don't think you're above it to do those because that's going to help you stand out.
Awesome. I mean, I was going to ask you, like, what are some advice you would give new teachers? But you gave a lot of great advice right there. So, I mean, anything else you want to add, like, for new teachers out there?
Sign up for things, you know, field trips, senior night, grad night, go to the games, you know, let the kids see you.
Mm-hmm.
After your tenure, you don't got to worry about it. No, I'm joking. But, you know, it's a different ball game once you're tenure. But, you know, I would go to the games a lot. Cause I like being there supporting the kids.
Yeah. Being part of the community. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Growing up. And I don't know. I feel like the kids, like if they see you, it's like
has another layer to it. You know? Yeah. It's like a celebrity experience.
It's a celebrity experience. It's like, oh, this guy's here today. And then, you know, it's something they talk about. And I remember growing up playing sports. My mom could never see me play. You know, I grew up in a single parent household.
Yeah.
You know, so I know the community we serve, some of our students either have a single parent household or they live with both parents, but, you know, priorities are different, right?
Mm-hmm.
People have different work schedules, other siblings. So it's always hard to make that sacrifice and show up. And I mean, we can all agree based off of back to school night and open house, how many parents we actually see and meet.
That's a good point.
So,
yeah,
you know, yeah, and that was different with, you know, kid, family, just burnout. You know, sometimes you're like, I just want to go home and go to sleep. But, sign up for those things. If you're a new teacher, say yes. And then at some point, you're going to have to learn how to say no as well.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I think that's one of the most powerful things I could recommend to educators is learn when to say no, because if you just keep taking on all these responsibilities. And
you're going
to
burn out. Plate, yeah.
You're going to burn out you know, you're going to regret going, you're going to despise going to work, you know. I feel like once you do that, it becomes toxic and, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Like amazing insight. Bravo. I think our listeners are going to get a lot out of that. And again, if for anyone who's listening out there, you could always email us requests or comments at teacheravenuepod@gmail.com. We probably want to switch to the segment in our podcast where we talk about things we want to recommend, things that we want to plug, things we've been watching or reading or viewing that we want to spread out there. We're interested. Bravo, anything you want to plug, anything you've been listening to or watching? I know you've been busy as a parent and time is very, very precious. But what are some things that you've been listening to?
For sure. When I get a chance, when I go for a bike ride or a walk, NPR, Throughline, and they have some good teaching materials there with the transcripts as well.
Yeah, you know, I use a lot of that.
And Code Switch. Those are things I use for my ethnic studies class.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of resources out there. I think a podcast is kind of a new way of teaching as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because yes. We're used to watching.
Or like reading.
And we're used to talking, but we're not really used to listening.
Yeah.
So I think podcasts help with that, you know, just listen. Sometimes it's good to just listen and kind of process the information, you know, so it's just a different way of learning, still experimenting with it. In terms of just, you know, history nerds or just, you know, things we like. What else? For entertainment, you know, Grey's Anatomy, Station 19. You know, I'm an AMC Stubbs member.
Let's plug that. All three of us.
Spider-Man comes out next month. Ghostbusters comes out today.
Today, yeah.
You know,
for sure.
You know, and I feel like
we like.
Yeah, man. I feel like once you're in that theater, it's like you enter another realm. You know, your cell phone doesn't exist, and it's just you and the screen. You know.
Let me ask you this, Bravo. Do you go in before the trailers start, or do you wait until there's a certain time and then you go in to avoid the trailers?
The 15-minute rule.
That's what I follow that too. Yeah, 15-minute rule after the official showing time, then you're good to go.
Yeah. So a 15-minute rule. Sometimes, you know, I think procrastinator waits at last minute. You can miss a couple minutes of the movie. So, but I would say I used to be all into the previews, but I think now with social media, like Instagram,
it's everywhere.
It's there, you know, and if it's hyped up, you're going to see it, you know, but, now I'd just rather go in, sit down and just straight to watching.
Yeah. You're also a parent. So what's like a show you recommend for parents or like anyone out there? For kids, man. Right?
Yeah. You know what? I used to be a real critical. Or I used to be that parent. Say, you know what? I'm not gonna believe in screen time zero. You know, but I think you got to have a little bit of it. You know, and as soon as kids get older, you can monitor a little more. But YouTube has free stuff. We watch. My son likes Farmies.
What is that? Farmies.
It's just nursery rhymes.
Oh, okay.
I actually, you know what? I think sometimes I'll just catch myself walking and singing these nursery rhymes in my head. So super catchy.
Okay.
And then, nursery rhymes and, you know, it's like animated and colors and all this stuff. So, I mean, the kid likes it. It grabs his attention. Finding Nemo, Finding Dory.
Okay.
Trying to experiment with other ones.
I'm excited for you, Bravo, because you're going to be able to show them all the things that you grew up with. Like, imagine the time where you can watch Empire Strikes Back with your son, and he doesn't know that Luke is Darth Vader's son. And the moment on his face when he finds out, like, that's gold.
A lot to look forward to as a father to show those things.
I think just technology is like streaming services, it's made everything accessible, you know, so especially things we grew up with, you know,
Yeah.
Things, you know, now you can watch The Sandlot, you know, like I feel like a lot of kids still don't know about, the newer generation doesn't know about it. Or
I watched that recently. Yeah, I actually watched that recently.
Or, unless, you know, Netflix like, remakes it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. The Little Giants, Big Green, you know. Oh,
Little
like,
Giant. Little Giants, three great. Yes.
The three little ninjas, you know, or just, yes. I feel like, you know, like it's a lot of stuff that, you know, contributed to my childhood and or to our childhood. And
Fresh Prince, all those things.
Fresh Prince, Martin.
Yeah. Three ninjas and surf ninjas, yeah. Both of those. Yeah.
You know, awesome. So, yeah.
Cool.
That's cool.
Just if I could recommend for now.
Awesome. Well, I have one for this week. It's something I watched recently on Netflix. I think Mir saw this as well. It's The Harder They Fall, right? It's actually an all black cast, main cast, basically an old Western. And it really goes to show that you can make a great, you know, movie with an all black cast without using the N-word once. Right. I'm looking at you, Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
And that was something that's really well done. So that's kind of
old fashioned, but very new. Old fashioned, yes. But like very modern new twist, style.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I like that. So that's what I recommend. Let's talk about this. Eternals. I think we've all seen this by now. We all have our thoughts on it, right? The new latest Marvel movie. Mir, let's start off with you. What are your thoughts on this movie?
So I was going into, let me preface by saying I love Marvel movies. I'm a Marvel fan. I was going into this with minor trepidation because of the reviews, and I had waited, you know, a few days, and I lowered expectations a little bit, but ultimately I did find I found it flat. I found
underwhelming.
It collapsed.
Okay. No,
almost overwhelming. Like almost like they tried to do too much, I think. I think with 10 people and 10 heroes in the movie, balancing all of them out is rough.
Is it 10?
I think it collapsed under the weight of itself.
With all the big stars.
Trying to juggle too much.
Okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of the big, I think it was ambitious. It had a lot to say. It was swinging for the fences, which I admire. But ultimately, like, I was uninvolved in it. I was not emotionally invested in it.
Okay, got it. Okay.
I think just from the sheer weight of everything that's going on, plus the logic of the story, I feel some of it didn't make sense. So maybe like it's something I need to revisit down the line, but I think after watching Dune, I was kind of spoiled with Dune a little bit, and it's just a different style. So it didn't hit me the way I anticipated it to hit me, but maybe with a rewatch later on, it'll change my mind.
All right. Well, Bravo, what are your thoughts on Eternals?
I'm gonna say, you know what? I liked it, but I agree with Mira. When you have that many characters, you know, it's like. It's like the reason Avengers worked is because everyone's story was developed. You know, Thor's story was developed. Hulk was horrible, but it was developed. You know, Iron Man. And then you can't just pull up.
Like random, like.
Just drop Avengers out of nowhere. You know.
Yeah, and you got to build up to it. Okay.
You got to build up to it. So I think, you know, you have a lot of storylines there. And I think they did try to cover them little by little. But it wasn't enough, you know, it wasn't enough. And I did like the historical, references.
The references to like the Gilgamesh and Athena. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I appreciated those. Yeah, for sure.
I like it, but even the like catastrophic events they lived through, you know, drought, war, all that stuff, you know.
Civilizations changing.
Civilization, just development, technology.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard too, right? Being eternal, but also there's this burden of you live through all this stuff, so you see the worst in humanity and the best.
Right. That's a good point.
So it's like I think I don't know the character's name, I forgot, but he was like Iron Man, you know, like he had that Iron Man, he was a tech guy, you know, and
right.
Okay.
You know, he I think he was actually my favorite character, and he was a probably one of Marvel's LGBTQ characters, right?
Yeah, definitely.
He had a husband, so I think that was a good...
What's his name? I forgot already.
Marvel's making good strides. And
Ryan Tyler. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I thought that was good. Here's what I did like about Eternals. They introduced more characters.
Spoiler alert for Eternals.
That's his voice, right? Marshall Ali. So he's
next up to play Blade. He's extremely excited for that.
He's one of my favorite actors.
I'm all for that.
And then, you know, at the end, you just see it's another deleted scene or trailer for the next set of movies. So I think in terms of, I think this film opened the door for many other films.
Right.
Okay.
You know, I agree with you, Bravo, but I think part of the detriment is that it is a lot of table setting. It is a lot of kind of setting up for the next thing. And some of that is good. Some of that is set up. One thing I do like is that I like the relationship between these Eternals, like the family dynamic. You know, there's always, there's like a pairing, there's relationships in between them. There's bonds that are really interesting. One other thing I wish they were dealt more with is like the guilt of like not, you know, they can't interfere in stuff, right? They can't interfere in human endeavors. And they kind of mention that a little bit, the struggle of that, but I kind of wish it leaned more into what it was like to kind of be an Eternal. And it kind of had to do a lot, right? It had to get through the plot to get through to the ending. Yeah.
I think it was a kind of implied, you know, how some just outcasted themselves and broke off from the group and, you know, just because of that burden, you know, but,
who knows?
Maybe one day we'll get,
like a sequel or something.
I don't think we'll get a prequel for that.
Oh, okay.
But the way I see that movie is kind of like Captain Marvel, you know, Marvel. They just dropped that out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, and what it was just like, here's a piece we're throwing in or a stepping stone, you know?
Right.
So I don't know, but you know what? I'm excited for
the next phase.
The Spider-Man.
Okay.
Next phase for sure. Morbius, Moonlight, you know, and I think I like how Venom and Carnage
incorporated.
Yeah. So
very excited. Doctor Strange as well. Shout out to Doctor Strange 2. I'm super excited for that next year. They got everything lined up. Like they have a whole plan for the next couple years, and
they're smart about it.
I'm on board, and even though this is, you know, to me a little bit of a minor misstep, I don't think it ruins the whole plan. You know, at least it's gotten a lot of people to talk about it. You know, it's the conversation around this movie. There's a lot of it.
Any publicity is good publicity, right?
It's like one of those you either love it or hate it type of things. It seems to be.
Yeah.
I think I fall in the middle a little bit. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. And I think I just need to watch it one more time.
Yeah.
What I'm gonna say is there's some dark movies that are supposed to come out. Like Morbius is a little darker. I heard Moonlight was supposed to be darker. You know, like Deadpool. Those are like dark, anti-heroes, but heroes as well. You know, and I don't know how Disney's going to juggle producing those films because you know their audience.
It's very PG, yeah.
Yeah. So how are you going to?
Moon Knight might be a TV series.
Yeah. You know, they did good with Loki.
I was thinking about that too. Loki was well done on Disney Plus.
The Disney Plus series, I think. How many came out? Two of them? Three of them. They're all well produced and but I still feel like, you know, some of these characters like Blade, like
you need
if Blade
to
is not rated R.
It needs to be
rated. Blade is not rated R, I will protest. I will be on the streets rioting. That started the whole thing off. Blade started the whole thing off.
Yeah.
But some of these, sorry kids, you're gonna have to watch it when you're of age.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think the audience is sick of us talking about Eternals. So let's move on and talk about some other, I guess, two last recs for the week.
Very quick.
You had one? Yeah.
Very quick, just to wrap it up. I showed an episode of Amend today in one of my classes. Amend is on Netflix, I believe hosted by Will Smith.
Yes.
But it has a whole bunch of famous people in it, not just celebrities, but activists, politicians. Mm-hmm. It's a 6-episode miniseries, limited series on Netflix. And the 6th episode was about immigration and the 14th Amendment. It's fascinating. It goes into the history of due process and the history of what it means to be a citizen in the US and the challenges that immigrants faced from the Chinese Exclusion Act all the way down. And it's brilliant and well done, well produced. And the kids really liked it. So I definitely recommend it, especially if you're a teacher and if you're a history teacher and you want something interesting and fascinating, I recommend Amend on Netflix.
Awesome. And then one last thing, it's not really a recommendation I have, but I mean, I sort of recommend it too. I've been rewatching the whole Harry Potter series on HBO Max, and it was actually really nice, you know, just to see them grow up and all that. So it was a bit of nostalgia for me, but yeah, I finished rewatching the Harry Potter series. So that's that.
Can I add some recommendations?
Sure.
Definitely.
And I still have to finish this series, but Exterminate All the Brutes on HBO Max.
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't know if you guys, have you guys seen it?
I've heard of it. I have not checked it out, but...
I have not.
Yeah.
So it is rated TV mature, but I think it's the same narrator of James Baldwin's I Am Not Your Negro.
Oh, okay, yes.
And he goes through just like the history of racism to colonialism to imperialism to genocide. And,
wow.
And it's powerful. Each episode is about an hour.
Great.
Exterminate All the Brutes.
I need to check it out for ethnic studies for sure.
And then someone recommended this. I haven't seen it yet, but Succession.
Oh, yes.
It's an
excellent show.
On HBO?
Oh, it's 3
on
seasons.
HBO.
Yeah.
Okay.
3 seasons. Wonderful show.
Awesome. Succession.
It's about a rich family where the dad, the patriarch, is like kind of a Rupert Murdoch type. Like somebody who owns like Fox News,
oh.
Right? And he's multi-billionaire, and his kids are all kind of fighting for his attention, but also fighting to be like the next, like to replace him, basically to succeed. Mm. it's fantastic. It's Adam McKay, I believe, who did The Big Short.
Oh, director.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's great. The comedy is hard and hitting, and it's kind of handheld style.
Okay.
You know, like looks like a documentary almost, but it's phenomenal. 3 seasons. The 3rd season is probably the best one so far too. So it's going on. Good recommendation.
All right. Awesome. Well, I guess I think that was a pretty lengthy episode, but we'll end it there. Again, if you have any questions or comments, you can also, besides our email, follow us on our Instagram at Teacher Avenue Pod. And we'd like you to, you know, like to thank you for joining us on this episode, Ron.
Yeah, Ronald, thank you so much. This was awesome.
Thank you.
Amazing conversation.
I'm glad to be the first guest appearance, and amazing work. And thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, thanks for that. And we'll see you next week for a new episode, everybody. Well, until then, take care, and we'll see you.
All right, you guys. Peace. Thank you.